Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. Stitch Hour tonight.
Yay.
Yep. We'll be there. Have some giveaways. Might try and get the Avalia items, some of the Avalia items we talked about last week. Get those together for a giveaway. So join us 8 o'clock Eastern time on the YouTube channel. We always have a good time. The last two times I've set up to actually stitch, which...
Did you stitch?
No.
No.
And it takes a lot because, there's the stand, the magnifier, the camera on a tripod, an extra connection. But last week I got it all set up, never even looked at it. Finally, halfway through the show, I just turned the magnifier light off. So I don't think I'm going to set up anymore. It never works.
You need something because you got to watch the screen and all, but Jennifer and I always managed to get a few stitches in.
I know. And I'm jealous. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's just too much for me to watch. I can't get it all in. So I think I'll save myself the trouble, but anyway, we'll be gathering, so join us. Sunday, Rena Kroback Yee is our guest. And she does those temperature charts.
Right. But not like normal people temperature charts. Not what you, when you think of temperature charts, you think of, I don't know, quilts or flowers. Hers are different.
Yeah.
And different in a good way.
Right.
And I love how she gathers her data. So,
yeah. Yeah, that was one. That was one I have to admit. She was more than willing to do it. Jessica Grimm suggested her. She was more than willing to do it. And all the way up till we started talking to her, it was like, I don't know what we're going to get out of this. Because, those temperature charts are just kind of, whatever. And then we started talking to her and what she does and the way she goes about it is absolutely fascinating. I was locked in. That was really good.
It was
nothing like I expected. So it was, I was really glad we did it. Yeah.
It was fun talking to her. She was just interested how she made her charts and got me thinking things.
I know it was one of those that gets your wheels spinning. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
And we hang up and you're going, wow, wait a minute. What about this? And what about that? Yeah, it was good.
Right.
So that's Sunday. Don't miss that one. It'll get your wheels spinning. And those things are good stash consumers too. So,
Definitely. Yep.
But she does the work. She gets the data for you. I mean, I don't know what it costs to do it, but she'll collect the data, but I won't ruin the show. People need to listen, but good stuff. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Seeing lots of progress from people on the Mystery and Central Pay sponsored by Needle in a Haystack Designed by Gann Rogers project.
Yes, on Facebook. That's been a great group. I'm so glad you set that up because it's been fun seeing what other people are doing and watching them struggle, but watching them make their design choices.
Right.
It's fascinating, seeing what they're doing, why they made the decision they made. It's just interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And one person posted that she was almost finished and how much fun she'd had and what she'd learned out of it, which, of course, is the goal.
Right.
And then Gayann had a suggestion for somebody and she went back and did that and liked it better. And it's been great fun. Yes. Go to the Facebook and look up Mystery and Saint-Tropez Stitching Group and join. Even if you're not doing the project, join. Because you'll learn something and you can still start the project. I'm looking over now at my work. Yes, you can still start the project and not be behind at all.
Mm-hmm. I haven't touched mine since we did it ours together. So I'm hoping tonight that I will put it just in because it's been calling my name.
All right. Yep. Yeah, so you can start. You won't be behind. There's always the electric needle people. They're always flying ahead. But, you can join Beth and me at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we're at the beginning.
Yep. So do that. GayAnnRogers.com. You can get the chart from GayAnnRogers.com, and you can still get thread packs from Needle in a Haystack. Kathy Ray will fix you up. So the link, you just go to GayAnnRogers.com, and up in the upper right corner is the FiberTalk logo, and that will get you to the charts and then get you running from there. So, yep. Join Beth and me at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. That way you can watch us make mistakes too, and yep. rip things out and start again and add colors, take colors away, all that yep. fun stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So and, join us.
And so you're back on the Congress block. You've decided to use the Congress block.
Yeah. Yeah. I got the center square done, and was actually starting on the next thing, the padded tent stitch little border that goes around that center square. And I've been sick the last few days, so I have had zero energy. I'd really like to get healthy and stay healthy, but someday. So I haven't worked on it, but yeah, so that I'm at the color experiment for that little, you know, they're just one line things, but they play a pretty important role in that center section. So,
right.
Yeah.
And that's the fun thing about watching it on Facebook is you see other people there. Someone put one color in and said, oh, I'm not so sure I like that, but kept going on the course, going further out. And then made some choices. And I don't know whether what she put in, the diagonal, whether she's going to leave it or not. But it's just interesting. It's fun to watch them. People make decisions as they go.
Yeah.
Which is the point of this whole exercise.
Right.
Make some design choices.
Yeah. See, and I thought I knew exactly what I was going to do. And then I saw some of what other people did. And I started changing my mind. And for that, it's just the one row of padded tent stitch that goes around that center diamond. I think I might haul out some floche, some white floche.
Oh, yeah.
I have to try that. Yeah, that's where I'm at right now, because my center is a light color to radiating to dark. And then it seems like a white floche on there would be a nice something. So
yeah.
I have to play a little bit. But that's what it's all about. So join us. I mean, that's this whole thing is a complete chance to experiment. There's a simple design with simple stitches and a chance to experiment and learn. And you can post your pictures and people will give you feedback. And Gayan Rogers is very active in the group with her suggestions. So you can get a lot of help. It's a pretty cool little project. And it's a small project. You're not going to be working at for the next 6 months. Well, no. I will, but no, you know, the rest of the world won't. Yeah.
If you're steady on it, you won't work on it for the next 6 months.
Thank you. There. Yes. So, okay, we're recording this on Monday because we say tonight is the show because that's when we release the podcast on Wednesday, sometimes Tuesday night, but we recorded ahead, obviously.
Right.
And now I have not been riveted to the funeral of the Queen, but I have watched enough of it. I mean, it's everywhere, so... Mm-hmm. A couple of things there. One, I don't think there's anybody in the world that can mark a historic event quite like the British.
No. They do a good job at pomp and circumstance.
Wow.
No doubt about it.
Wow. Well,
I did watch, and I can't remember, them move her casket in, and I thought for sure they tacked down that crown on top of her coffin, but they said no, it wasn't, that they were trying, they had to keep it steady as they walked to Miss Wynn. And I was like, man, that'd be tough.
Yeah, when they were bringing it into the Abbey, those guys, because they had the scepter laying on there, in kind of a holder, and then the crown, and I thought, oh man, no pressure on you guys. Yeah. Holy smokes, yeah. But right. Everything they do is just so beautiful. It's just so right. precise and beautiful, and colors, beautiful colors, but not overdone. Everything is just right. And I, a couple times, a tear to the eye, the number of people waiting in line to pay their respects. What a tremendous outpouring there. Jeez.
Right. And you understand why. I mean, she's been queen for so long.
Yeah. I've never, when I'm 67, I've never known another queen.
Right.
You're younger than I am, so you certainly haven't.
No.
Yeah, that was the thing when she died. I just kind of stopped. Right. Wow, that is a major event. My entire life, she has been the Queen of England.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and look at all she's seen, all she's dealt with.
Right.
Done it so well, you know. I'm sure people could nitpick this, that, and the other thing, but overall, just done it so well respected by everyone.
Right. And you know, and it's one of those things that was a constant. You know, Queen Elizabeth. You know, she's Queen of England, and so.
Yep.
So, but yeah, that just all changed that heartbeat. And what's interesting to me is all the, all the needlework that has come.
No kidding. Holy smokes.
Yes. And was it Jen Aiden Christie did a great tribute on both Facebook and Instagram saying, you know, she received something from the Queen or was in the Queen's presence and how moving it was. It was just a moving story on her page.
Yeah.
And the work she's done of, you know, for the Queen, for the royal family.
Yeah.
Through the Royal School of Needlework, which is fascinating.
Yeah, that's just it. Yeah, you know, and everything, all the trappings, you know, there's embroidery of some kind on everything. And can you imagine to just go in the giant room where they store all that?
That would be fun.
Okay.
And you just want to go and look at it really closely, you know, a magnifier and just study every little bit.
And you know it is done so perfect, just so perfect.
Yeah, right. Everything was. Oh, yeah.
Well, a sad thing. I mean, you know, inevitable sad thing. You know, and that was the other part. You know, we don't even know her.
Right.
She's a person who, you know, queen from across the ocean. But it kind of moves you, you know, you're attached to her just because.
I really think it's because she was such a constant in all of our lives. You know, you always, you know, you see her, you know, on the TV or whatever. Sometimes you hear her Christmas talks, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, snippets of them on the news or something. And she seems a very calming, constant presence in our world. And yeah. It was just, yeah. So it is. I think it's a tragedy. We've lost, you know, a great person. I believe. You know.
Yeah. Right there. I think that's it. Right there. It's not a queen, not a monarch, not a leader. Just a great person. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, not gonna be the same. Not gonna be the same. Yeah.
No.
So, well, yeah. I just marvel at what the British can do. Really something.
Yeah. The pageant and even watching some of the parade of the royal family with the coffin through the streets and the outpouring of people being there. It's just, it was very moving. Very, very moving. You know?
Yep. Yeah. Special stuff. Special stuff. So, all right. So you've been stitching your brains out here. So we got some finishes, and then you were away camping.
Yeah.
And stitching, and then you were north of where I live by a fur piece, and then you came to the St. Louis Art Museum. You've been kind of just doing everything here.
I've been trying to keep myself out of trouble. It's not working, but you know, I'm trying.
Okay, well, credit.
I finished the stitch stories, start with coffee piece. And I did that while, it was my carry along piece. I took it to my mother-in-law's cause it's got the little lines marked on it. It's like stitch, by number. So, or by color. So the colors were there marked on the fabric. All I had to do was pull the right thread, find the right stitch and go to town. It was wonderful. But it was nice to take in the camper or in the car with me because it was easy to see. It didn't take much I didn't need a whole lot of supplies. Yeah. And so I managed to get it finished here recently. I can't remember if I finished it on the trip or before the trip, but it was just, and it was a fun little piece. I highly recommend learning to do that embroidery, because that's what it is. It's surface embroidery stitches. It's chain stitch, back stitch, a little bit of satin stitch. I think that's it. I think it's all that it has in it. And it was just fun. And it was kind of mindless. But I have a nice little thing that I've now got to wash it and kind of get it cleaned up so I can hoop it up. I'm going to put it back in its hoop and then hang it up in my house.
Yeah. Now we each got a kit. I of course have not done mine. And kits are something that I'm a little hesitant to do, because I always wonder if you get enough materials. And my impression when I opened the one I got was plenty of stuff. And I assume when you got all done, you were not lacking for thread or scraping for one more strand or anything.
There were full skeins of DMC in that kit.
Yeah.
So there was plenty left. In fact, I think if you wanted to, so let's say you decided you didn't want to put it in a hoop, but you wanted to make it, stuff it as a pillow for some reason, you'd probably have enough to make a cording with the leftover threads to match.
Oh, okay.
The edge. So if you didn't, you'd come pretty darn close. But there was lots of thread left. In fact, I think she suggests that if you wanted to stitch it twice, you probably have enough to stitch it twice.
All right. Yeah.
Which is nice. But yeah. I didn't worry about that. It was because it was all in that little tin. And so all the threads were in the tin she gave us with the needle winder and a needle. So all I needed was scissors, and I brought my own hoop. I had my own hoop. I didn't like the size of that hoop she had. I like my plastic hoops. It's not like I'm doing something fancy. I just like those cheapy plastic hoops you get at box stores. But anyways, that was nice. I got that finished. And then the other thing I finished was it was a Cruel Petite project by Judy Giroy. And we did that as a workshop for my guild. And it must have been in 2009, 2010, because my daughter took the class too. And I actually finished her piece. She stitched most of it, but then she didn't like what she was doing. She felt it wasn't as good as everyone else's. I think there was a kind of comparison thing going on. So she abandoned it. And then she said, well, you can finish it if you want, Mom, but if not, I'm throwing it away. And I thought, oh, I'll finish it. So I did. And she was home this past weekend, Rachel was, and she found it. She goes, oh, did you finish this? And I said, yeah, you stitched half of it. And she goes, oh, I bet it's the worst part. And I was like, no, here, this is, I know where you stitched. I said, you did a beautiful job. And again, it's that comparison to other people. I think it's just somehow it's ingrained in us. Mine isn't as good as yours, you know? And it's like, no, you did a beautiful job on it. And so she was real excited. Have you ever stretched out or blocked wool work?
No.
Okay. That's what I was getting ready to do now. So that's the next process. I've got it on some stretcher bars. I'm lacing it up with some thicker thread, you know, like buttonhole thread. But you lace it so there's like a couple inches around it, and then you tighten it so it's all even, and then you rinse it under water.
Oh.
Make it really tight, and then you just give it a quick rinse, and then you let it dry flat.
Okay.
And then that takes all those puckers out, because we just did this in a hoop.
Yeah.
And so it has kind of lines in it and stuff, but I know all that should come out, and then I'll make it into a little tea cozy and give it to Rachel for her Christmas present.
Excellent. Yeah. Here, Rachel, you did half the work. Yep. Go ahead and find what part you did. Can't tell. Yeah.
Can't tell. Yeah. It looks just like yours. And then I finished one more piece, and that was my guild we did a study group, Inchies by Kathy Reese. And we started it during COVID. I remember having to go and find people to give them their kits and pass it, them out to them during COVID, finding them and, okay, meet you in the parking lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we ended up doing, like, I taught them online through YouTube videos. And so mine has been done for a long time. I thought, what am I going to do with this? I'm not going to frame it. So I made it into a project bag. And so I inserted it into like an envelope fold. And there'll be pictures on YouTube. I'll send you photos.
Okay.
So
what, is that one of those 1-inch square, different stitch, different color designs?
Yes. Yeah. And but I didn't know what to do for the closure. That's always my problem. And so Kim was having her September soiree, and Allie, what's Allie's last name? Allie Dudley?
Dudley, yep.
She was teaching needle weaving. So I took the her needle weaving, her button class. It was a Dorset button. And so I made a Dorset button and used that as my closure.
Oh, okay.
On my piece. So yeah. Now I've got that all, and that's totally finished. It's done. It's got projects in it.
Look at you.
Yeah. So I've been keeping busy.
I know. You've been, a little machine there. Yep. So when you go camping, you guys have the coolest, you have one of those little, like, jelly bean or whatever trailers.
Yeah, a teardrop.
Teardrop, that's what it is. Yeah, it's the coolest thing where you got kind of the kit, you lift the back and you got the kitchen, and then you can sleep in there, and
right.
And the whole bit is just one of the coolest things. So when you stitch, is that sitting in a long chair under a canopy outside the trailer, or how do we go about that?
No. I wait. It's generally gets dark, early. And so we go in and I turn on the light and I sit in bed and stitch in the camper with a light on. And my husband normally reads. So as long as I have good lighting, I'm generally fine. But I found I can't really do anything that requires a lot of counting. So I took a counted piece and I looked at it like three times and I was like, I can't stitch on this here. And I don't know why. I think it's because I spread out too much. I need my chart and I need my hoop and it's like, okay, this is not going to work. But any of the surface embroidery works. So I had brought an Avlia kit and I can't think of the name of it. It's like, it's got a sun on it.
Yes.
You know which one I'm talking about?
I know the one. Can't come up with the name either, but I know the one. Yeah.
Yeah. So I worked on that one in the camp and that was fun.
So then surface embroidery where you're just following lines with lazy daisy or stem or whatever, then for that kind of a setting, that's easier thing to deal with rather than chart counting, marking,
right?
Blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Even I know I finished the crewel piece in the camper first, because I was really close to being done. So, and it was nice because the wool is so forgiving, it's soft, you do a long short.
Yeah.
It's a forgiving, technique. So right. It's just for people who don't do surface work, but want something that's portable. That's the nice thing about it to me is that it, as long as you have a hoop and you're careful about your tension, it works. It works really nice and you can take it anywhere.
Yeah. Much more portable. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you really don't need a chart as much as long as you know what your stitch is that you're working.
Yeah, because like those Stitch Stories ones, there's no chart to be had. It's all printed on there in the color you want, and you just stitch. Yeah.
Right. You just need to know, am I doing a back stitch or am I doing a chain stitch or whatever.
Yeah.
And even that's a matter of, your own discretion. You can always change it.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody's going to make you.
right.
Are you able to stitch in the car while Max is driving?
Yes. Yes, I do, except if it's bumpy, and then I just, watch the scenery go by.
Okay, because that's the next question then, is and that's kind of you know, the times I've stitched in the car, it's like getting the needle to go where you want it, because if it's very bumpy at all, yeah, it's kind of all over the place. But
no, if it's bumpy, I just give it up. I just like, okay, this is not good.
Yeah.
And the other thing I do stitch in the car is Mill Hill bead kits. And I love those because everything's in them except for a pair of scissors. And they're relatively inexpensive. I think the most expensive ones are under $20. So let's say you lose the whole thing. You know, you're traveling and you leave it somewhere.
Yeah.
You're only out, $20, but it's only not like something that's got silk and, you know, you spent a ton of money on.
Right. Yeah. a 14 by 18 reproduction sampler all in silk. Yeah. Yeah. We don't want that happening.
No. And I don't know. I like to stitch on the road. I like to stitch when I hate just sitting and waiting. It just makes me incredibly nervous.
Yeah.
So if I have something in my hands, I'm much, much, much calmer. So that's why I always take stitching with me. Even if I don't get much done, even if I only put a few stitches in and I just look at it and pet it and I'm like, okay, I brought it along. I didn't do anything with it, but at least I have in case I need it.
Yeah. Something to channel your energies, yeah.
Right.
So right. You went to the St. Louis Art Museum, and what did we see there? Is it a whole day deal, half day? What'd you do there?
We just went for half a day because after a while, there's only so much art you can look at. That's a nice museum. You really ought to get to there, Gary. It's not that far for you.
I know.
But, you know, and it's a beautiful location. There's that pretty park. I don't know what it's called.
Forest Park. Yep. It is a beautiful park. Yep.
Beautiful park.
I've ridden my bike through it many, many times. Yeah, it really is.
It's nice. It is nice. But we went, specifically I wanted to go see the Chinese silk textiles. And it's very, very small. It's just one small section of a wing of the art museum. But I was surprised by all the techniques I recognized. So they had, they had weaving, they had silk embroidery, but they also had, what's the one that starts with an R? It's done on the silk gauze square thing.
Rosashi. Yeah.
It's like they had a piece that was Rosashi, but it was tiny. It wasn't like this. Remember when we went in, at the EGA seminar in Chicago, we saw Rosashi.
Yeah.
But the stitches looked like they were big, like almost like needlepoint canvas size.
Right.
Right? No, not these. They look like small, like fine linen cross stitch.
Oh.
It's like, but it wasn't cross stitch. It looked like the stitches of Rosashi, but they didn't label it that. And so I'm kind of wondering if they didn't know, the curators didn't know it. Because they don't, again, curators know they have Chinese embroidery, but right. They don't maybe know what the technique is.
Right.
And it was just beautiful and interesting. And then Max was with me and he kind of was walking. Like he's like, okay, yeah. Okay, see this. I see this. Let's move. And I say, no, stop. I said, okay, watch. Now move forward and move back. And you could see this, the way they laid the silk. You could see the shimmer. It was like a dragon or something.
Uh-huh.
And I said, because he was asking about the Silk Road one day. And he says, what do you know about that? And so we kind of had a little discussion about what little I knew. But he didn't really understand why silk was so valuable until I said, okay, you got to remember, there's no rayon. All you have is linen and cotton. Look at what this does when you move. And think of what now you've got all this movement of light in your textiles. Imagine this in a cathedral, you know, where you've got, you know, a vestment made with this silk that shimmers and glows and, you know,
right,
by candlelight. So it was kind of fun. It was just fun to look at. And it, again, it's not a huge museum, so it only took us half a day.
Yeah.
I think you can only look at art for so long before after a while it all looks the same. At least in my mind.
I'm with you on that. Yeah, I can appreciate it for a while and then, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Overload. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, right.
Okay, so I got to go see that then. Yep.
Right, especially before they move it, you know, because it, they rotate them out.
Yeah.
They'll rotate it out and you won't put it back in the archives. You won't be able to see it. And then we really went to the free sections. You know, I think there's some place in there that you had to pay to get in, but it is free, which is kind of a nice a bonus, you know, get in and look around and see some nice art. And we like looking at art. I like looking at art because I normally am looking at colors. I took some pictures of some very modern art, and I don't remember the artist. And I was discussing with my sister-in-law, who has took art classes, has more of an art degree. And she goes, "Do you like that modern art?" And I said, "Well, I don't like everything about it." I said, "But I'm generally drawn to the colors." And then I showed her, and she was like, "Yeah, you know, I don't like that." And I said, "But okay, don't look at it. Don't look at the composition. Look at the colors."
Mm.
And she goes, "Oh, well, now I see what you're talking about." And so we kind of discussed. We had a little discussion about colors and what drew us to art. And I think that's what needleworkers need to do when they go to art museums. And Gay Ann mentioned this in her. When she was discussing about changing colors on your Saint-Tropez, if you got a red canvas, go pull up red paintings. See what other colors an artist used in red, or like for my orange canvas, if I pulled up orange paintings on Pinterest, I'm sure I'd get a whole bunch of hits of things that use the color orange. And to see what other colors they used with it, if I wanted some help in adding to my needlework.
Right, right.
But that's where it's fun to look at art, because then you're looking at how they use colors, how the really great artists use colors. Like, there was some impressionist, and again, I can't remember his name, but the way he used colors just drew us in. And we stood for a long time looking at that painting because it had blues, but when you got closer, they were doing pointillism. So it had a lot of, when you got closer, you could see it had purples and magenta and a little bit of yellow. So a layer upon layer of color. But when you stepped back, all you saw was kind of the blue and the yellow.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, again, fun to look at. You
right.
Know?
Yeah. So even if you hate abstract painting,
right.
Yeah. There's something for everyone to get out of it. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, it's just down the road for me, so I need to get there.
Yep. You don't want to take the grandson, though. I think they might get a little bored.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure of that. Pretty sure of that. Yep. Yep. And then the September soiree at Sassy Jack's, then you did the button class and.
Right. And I would kind of recommend that to people. It's totally online. This year it was totally online, and she said next year it's going to be online. She hopes to have the shop open, and maybe have a stitching group there. But we received Benson. That's the first name, Esther Benson. Her sassafras samplers. We all received that in our goodie bag. Along with a bespoke little project with fabric and threads and a packet of threads, which had three silks in it, two plastic color works, and a sulky. And then there was lectures. And so I never can sit and just sit in a workshop for that long. I can't physically, and normally on a weekend I'm just busy doing other things.
Yeah.
But she had recorded the lectures that she did. And so she gave a thread talk, she gave a discussion about where she was moving with her shop, just various things. So I'm going back and listening to those. Now that I have, you know, I have time to do it. I hit some of them, but it was a lot of fun. I highly recommend it for people who can't physically go to a retreat, because she also had Zoom rooms open for people just to sit and visit. And I did pop in a couple of times to those. But it's just nice to meet other stitchers, and that way we can meet other people from all around the world.
Yeah.
And I, 'cause I know a lot of people feel like, oh, I can't go to StitchCom, You know, I don't ever make it into summer school or any of those sort of things, those big events, or maybe are physically able to do it or financially able to do it. This was really nice. It was a way to, I learned something. I took the workshop was very inexpensive. And I thought the price point for the whole soiree was inexpensive. So it's just a nice way, if you can't physically go to a retreat, to be able to go to a retreat. So it was a lot of fun. I highly recommend it.
So then, okay, so the weekend event is over, but then you're really, for your money, you're getting extended value because you're able to go back and watch and rewatch and do all kinds of things beyond just the weekend.
Right. You have the videos for a year.
Oh, okay.
So, and for me, that's nice because, you know, some of the information, like the button class, I've learned how to do it. So I need to practice a little more and get a little better at it. But it's there so I could rewatch it. And so I've already watched it twice.
Okay.
So now I can go and I'm going to probably watch it at least a couple more times just to see her technique. I'm not quite got some of it right, but that's all right. That's all right. I'm just learning and practicing, and it's a lot of fun. But there were Susan Greening Davis had two workshops, one on Hardanger and one on blackwork, and then Kim had one for specialty stitches.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it was just, I think it's just a great way to be able to take classes from the comfort of your home. You have it for a year. And she did a great discussion on threads. She really did. I mean, I'd heard the information before, but it hadn't stuck on Soie Paris, Soie Perlet, and Soie Gobelin.
Uh-huh.
And this time I'm like, okay, now I've got it. I understand. So again, you know, you learn something, and that's why I attend those things. I attend classes or I go to retreats or things. I want to learn something new. And I did. I learned a lot of new things.
Cool. And right from your home. Yep.
Right from my, I, you know, didn't have to get out of your jammies if you didn't want to.
There we go.
Perfect.
Well, she's done that, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years now, so I'm sure that next year will be again. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's already planning for it. And getting, I think she's getting signups going, so.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Excellent.
I really do think the nice part is for people who don't have other people to stitch with, those Zoom meetings, she held them. I think it started Friday night. There was one Friday night. It was all day Saturday and all day Sunday. And I mean, till midnight. So whenever she opened the room at 9 or 10 o'clock, it went on till midnight. Wow. You could just stitch. And some people, they like to do that, or, you know, could pop in and out, right. You know, and what a great way to meet fellow stitchers, especially if you're isolated. Yeah. I mean, you know, I remember, you know, being a young mom and being very isolated, you know, as a, you know, not having so many people to talk to about stitching. And so this is great. This is a great opportunity. So.
Anyway. All right. Well, I couldn't have done it this weekend, but now I kind of kicked myself because I really didn't have to do it this weekend.
That's right. You could have just saved all of it. And I knew that was going to happen. But she said she was going to record it, and that's when I was like, okay, she's going to record this. I'm great. I'm good.
Yep. Yeah, another advantage of that online stuff. Yep.
Right. Yeah.
So
and taking classes, I think that's the thing. I think people sometimes think, oh, why should I take a class? Why should I take a workshop? You know, I kind of know this stuff. But you always learn something, I think, if you take the time.
No. Yeah. Anybody who, I don't need a class, I know it all. No, I guarantee you, you'll pick something up. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Every time. Yep. You'll go, boy, I'm glad I did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, all right. September soiree at Sassy Jack's. Watch for sign up for next year.
Yeah.
All right. We heard from Beth Lindsay. Every now and then, Beth Lindsay will write an email to us. And this was a good one. Well, each time they're informative and good and whatever. But anyway, this one, really, she has some good things. So she says, a couple weeks ago, we started the warp and weft conversation. Admittedly, at first I thought, what's the big deal? Weft is left. And yes, exactly. But then the conversation continued with Jennifer, and her mind went to her current WIPGO piece, a long, narrow Halloween sampler that's been going nowhere over the years because she hated the fabric. It was so stretchy and horrible to stitch on. After it was when Jennifer and I were chatting about it, she started to wonder, so she pulled it off the scroll bars, and sure enough, the selvage was across the top. So she called her local needlework store and got a new piece of fabric and set it up so that the selvage was on the left, and big difference.
Yeah. It's interesting, and the only other time I know it makes a difference is if you're assembling something into a box or into a shape. You want it all to be from the same direction of your fabric. Does that make sense? So,
yep. Oh yeah.
If not, it doesn't quite fit together.
Yeah.
And it's sad.
Yeah, that whole discussion has been interesting to me, to the point where I think we need to get a weaver
as
a guest and to talk about what we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if Beth Lindsay, hated a piece, got new ground cloth, turned it 90 degrees, and it's a whole different world, well, then that tells me that we ought to all be paying attention to which way our warps and our wefts are going.
Right. And sometimes if it's a small piece, you might notice it, but you're not going to care enough. It's just like, yeah, I could finish this piece, like a little pillow or a pin keep or something. That doesn't matter. I think where it matters is when you've got something, like she's obviously had a long.
Yeah.
Then you're going to go crazy, because if it's stretching on you, you're like, oh, this is not working.
Right. Yeah, you can't get your tension right. You can't get anything right. It just doesn't feel right. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. I think we need to talk to a weaver. We need to get a conversation to better understand. Because that time Cindy and I were talking about it, and I had needlepoint canvas sitting here, and I was pulling off threads from both sides, and I could not tell which was the warp and the weft. But there's got to be a way to tell.
I'm sure there's
a way.
Right.
You know, tell reliably on any fabric.
Yeah.
So I think we need to get a lesson on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Actually, bingo, Allie Dudley.
Yeah.
What am I thinking? Yeah. All right. Allie, help.
See if she's too busy with her job.
Could be, yeah. But that would hopefully be a good Wednesday night show, though, Stitch Hour show.
Yeah.
So we can show. Yeah.
And then maybe we could see where she's working now too.
That'd be okay, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That's one of those places that she works at John Campbell Art. What's it called? Folk Art.
It's a big art teaching education place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Someplace to go someday.
All right, I'll be writing to Allie. We need to get Allie's help. Because it just, I think it would be, because now I, you know, as I've, based on what Beth Lindsay's saying here, I think back there's a couple pieces where I hated the fabric, and I wonder if I'd turned it 90 degrees if I wouldn't have hated it so much.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
Yeah, we need Allie.
Note made in the margin right here. To contact Allie, get some help. Yep.
Yeah.
So that was good for Beth. So that paid off for her. And then the other word of thanks is regarding WIPGO. Yeah, we're not talking about my WIPGO. She said, I started it at the beginning of the year, my goal being a half hour of stitching 6 days a week. I have to say it's gotten me over more stitching humps. I've worked through everything from changing colors in a piece to simply spending time thinking about a class project and deciding I just didn't wish to finish it. Boy, that was a freeing moment. So
that is so true. I put my Hade on my WIPCO board, and I think you and Jennifer discussed it months ago. Beth has a Hade? I didn't know Beth has a Hade. Yeah, I do. I do still have that Hade. I have not thrown it away. But I don't think I'm going to, because I'll never finish it. So yeah. It no longer is on my to-do list. And it was all of a sudden, I just realized I don't have to work on that. It could just go away. It could just go away. Yeah. And it doesn't hurt anyone's feelings. I just don't want to do it.
Yeah. And I think that's an important thing is because you bought it, because you thought you wanted to stitch it, mm-hmm. and then you aren't so excited about it anymore, it's quite all right to give it away, throw it away, whatever, mm-hmm. and just be done with it.
That I didn't like stitching on it. It's just that I am so slow, and my brain, I tried to do the diagonal thing. I tried several times, and my brain doesn't think that way. I have to do color completion.
Okay.
It was taking me too long. And I realized I have limited stitching time. I'm not getting any younger. That piece needed to go. So, and that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Beth says that was a freeing moment. Yeah. I think so. Cause you know, we have a saying in the editing world when it comes to words, paragraphs, sentences, whatever it might be, when in doubt, you know, take it out. And mm-hmm. that about 98% of the time, that's exactly what you need to do. If you're editing a piece and you, what is the sentence contributing? And you go through it again, you go, just delete it. And you find that you don't miss a thing. It's everything's better. And mm-hmm. same kind of thing here with a project. Yeah. Do I really, I'm not so sure. I'm not so excited about this. Yeah. Get rid of it. Give it to somebody. Yeah.
Right. Repurpose the fabric.
Right.
Whatever you need to do.
Yeah. You know that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pull out the stitches, reuse the fabric for something else, put the threads back in your stash, give the chart away. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, free up space.
That's right. That's right. So, all right. So WIPCO helped Beth. And then, she was gushing over the Hazel Blomkamp seminar class EGA offered.
I had to do Zoom because Hazel couldn't get her visa. And there was a little discussion at my guild as to why they thought she didn't. It's because she hasn't traveled to the U.S. very much. So with all the new rules and regulations for people coming in, that's one of the reasons they thought her visa might have gotten hung up.
Oh.
Because Jane Nicholas came in and didn't have a problem.
Oh.
And so people were kind of wondering, and that's what they kind of thought, that was their reason. But they said it went really well, and because Penny Serrata, who is a faithful listener, took Hazel's class at National too. And said the funny thing is, though, that Hazel was able to smoke there.
Yes.
So the
She's
important.
A smoker. She's a smoker and proud of it. Yep.
Yep. So, but she said she really enjoyed the class. And then another friend took the Hazel class in Cedar Rapids. It was Tumbleweeds 2 or Tumbleblocks 2. I'm not sure. And really said she learned some things about needle lace, which is where she went.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, Cindy really enjoyed it too. So.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, I have a feeling any class with Hazel Blomkamp is going to be good. Fun, if nothing else. So.
Right.
Yep.
Learn something, hopefully.
Yep. All right. I think we'll wrap it up there. Join us tonight for the Stitch Hour. And Sunday, we learn about temperature charts with Raina Krobach Yee. And it's temperature charts like you haven't seen before. And GayAnnRogers.com to get started on mystery in Saint-Tropez. You learn something. It's counted canvas work, but it's not hard counted. It's an excellent way to learn counted canvas work. And you can just simply execute what Gayan put together with the threads that Kathy Ray from Needle and Haystack put together and just experience it for that. Or you can play with it a million different ways, but a learning experience no matter what. So good for everyone. Yep.
Join us.
All right. That's it. Thanks for listening.
Bye.